Hello everyone and welcome to another preview here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel. Today we're going to be looking at the Race to the Sun, Paris-Nice, one of the most exciting races on the calendar in terms of the 1 week stage races. And last year we saw Primoz Roglic finally get that yellow jersey. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Critical himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, what does Paris-Nice mean for you?
Yes, exactly that. It's like a mini Tour de France put in 1 week. We're even racing in France. It's a bit of a reverse of the Tour de France, however, beginning in Paris, heading down south. Usually we're running towards the French capital. But this year we're going to have probably one of the biggest and most intriguing storylines in recent Paris-Nice history with the two previous Tour de France champions here on the start line in Yvelines.
But anyways, Ewan, what have the riders got to look forward to in this year's Paris-Nice?
Well, I just mentioned the start line in Yvelines. That is where we'll be opening up this week of racing in Paris-Nice with a sort of, I mean, it's almost tradition now, with a sort of lumpy, unpredictable day of racing up around the French capital, this time around the little village of La Verrière. There is a bit of a kicker with 6 kilometers to go. That only is, well, the tension is added with an intermediate sprint, which will grant bonus seconds as well at the Côte des 17 Tournants. That will open up the racing. On stage two, however, there'll be a paint-by-numbers sprint stage into the little village of Fontainebleau, which has a big old chateau known for its royal inhabitants, kings and queens of France, and Napoleon Bonaparte. Stage three, however, is the sort of much spoken about team time trial, 32 kilometers of racing around the town of Dampierre-en-Bourlie. This time trial is a little bit different. Instead of the normal format we're used to, where sort of maybe the fifth or the fourth rider over the line gets timed for the whole team, instead this time the first rider over the line will stop the clock. That'll be the time for the team. It's a new format. ASO are sort of winging it at the moment, so that they're experimenting, seeing how it goes at Paris-Nice. I guess we'll learn as time goes on when it's put into practice on Tuesday, March 7th. Then on stage four, we begin in the hometown of Julien Alaphilippe in Saint-Amand-Montrond, and we're heading up to La Loge des Gardes. This will be a sort of mountain stage as such, not quite earth-shattering mountains, but it is still a bit of a kicker at the end, 6 kilometers at 7% at La Loge. Stage five will be a more formulaic sprinting stage, as we're used to in Paris-Nice along the Rhône Valley. We're in red wine country, and there's no red wine better than Saint-Paul-Trois Chateau, just north of Marseille. Nevertheless, stage seven will take us eastwards towards Nice, with a stage from Tours to La Colle-sur-Lu. This has a lot of little ramps, steep ramps, five in fact. There's one with 20 kilometers to go in the town of Tourette-sur-Lu, which could be it could throw up something special here. Nevertheless, stage seven will bring us to Nice, the wonderful Côte d'Azur, with the big old mountain stage, the summit finish of Paris-Nice, from Nice to the Col de la Couillole. Be careful how you say that. It's 143 kilometers long, the stage, and the final kicker is nasty. We've been here back in the past in 2017 when Richie Porte beat Alberto Contador on this mountain, but it's which it should really give us a sort of sense of who is going to be in the driving seat to win this Paris-Nice. But there's a final shakeup to be had on the final stage around Nice. We're used to this format now, and it will include five categorized climbs, including the Col d'Aise, the climb we all associate with Paris-Nice. That will come, the peak will come with 15 kilometers to go. From then, the riders will dash down the mountain and ride onto the Promenade des Anglais for the final sprint to the line. And that's when Paris-Nice will be won. The winner will be announced, our yellow jersey will be won, and the week of racing will be complete. 8 stages, 2 mountaintop finishes, 2 sprint stages, and a couple of unpredictable wildcard days to be had in the Race to the Sun.
Thank you for that, Ewan. And definitely should be a very exciting race. And coming into the favorites now, you've already given away Tadej Pogačar and Jonas Vingegaard aren't going to be in the race. We have no defending champion in the form of Primoz Roglic, but we might as well start with Jumbo-Visma as their defending champions. And Ewan, Jonas Vingegaard, there's been a few questions, but he's already shown that he's on a good form already in the Gran Camino. And how do you make of Jumbo-Visma's chance of regaining this title?
Well, the chance of them regaining the title is pretty high at the moment. They have a very, very strong team here, including, of course, Tour de France champion Jonas Vingegaard. As you mentioned, his foreman, O Gran Camino, the sort of the wild northern Spanish race, which included a gravel mountaintop finish, a cobbled mountaintop finish. Jonas seemed unfazed despite these sort of unpredictable finales. In fact, I would say he decimated his opposition in O Gran Camino. Here at Paris-Nice, yes, he has tougher competition on his hands, not quite the sort of second-tier riders that we saw in Gran Camino. And I think he's going to perform very well. He is a guy who can perform under pressure. We've seen it in the past at the two previous Tours de France, as well as the Dauphiné as well. And I mean, he has every sort of rider characteristic to win Paris-Nice. He's a good racer. Mountaintop finishes, he'll be left unfazed. Now looking towards the team he has, which will be more important this time than normal because there's also a team time trial. It's looking very, very strong. They have the world time trial champion in Tobias Foss coming here as well. Rowan Dennis will be on the start line, as will Christophe Laporte. Those are the names that we're hearing, rumors and murmurs of their participation in Paris-Nice so far, and it does prove to be a very strong team that will deliver a very strong result in the team time trial. I am sure of it. They performed very well at time trials in the past couple of years, even if we have only had a couple of them because of COVID. Last year's Volta a España, they really just showed everyone how to do it, and I think they're going to do the same thing here, and that will put Vingegaard in a very, very comfortable position. The Pogacar competition, in terms of him as a competitor, will make things interesting to see how they react to him, especially on these sort of more racing focused profiles. I'm looking towards stage 8, that stage around Nice. Also, I think stage 6 could be a big battleground there, the stage with a bunch of kickers. That sort of screams Pogacar to me. How will he react to Pogacar riding like a Grand Tour contender, like we've seen in the past at Tirreno Adriatico and so forth? I think we're going to see something big from Pogacar there. How will Vingegaard react to it? He's not quite sort of used to that scenario with Pogacar in a 1 week long stage race. We've seen them battle at Grand Tours, but that's a little bit more pragmatic than the sort of Pogacar in a 1 week long stage race that we're so used to seeing, and we've already seen this year in the Ruta del Sol last week. Nonetheless, we have grandstand seats really to what could be one of the best cycling battles of the year, a real amuse-bouche for the Tour de France this July.
Yeah, you're right. I think we haven't really seen them. I think it was a good point that you're saying that we haven't really seen them head to head in a 1 week stage race. We saw it in the Tour of Basque Country a few years ago, where Vingegaard finished ahead of Pogacar, but the only reason was there was a Roglic up the road, so he was marking him. And Tirreno Adriatico last year, we saw Tadej Pogacar absolutely just destroy everyone. So yeah, it's a very different scenario that we have. But Ewan, they were so dominant in Paris-Nice last year. Do you think they're going to replicate this? They don't have a Wout van Aert monster in their ranks, so it could be a very different feel to it.
Very true. And just before going into that point, I also want to sort of mark out the fact that this is really the first time Vingegaard has gone into a World Tour level stage race as the designated number one leader, a highly competitive stage race at that. In the past, he's gone in with Roglic, either as sort of as a double act or as a helper for Roglic. We haven't seen Vingegaard anchoring a team from the get-go. Even last year's Tour de France, we weren't quite sure until we got to La Planche what the whole scenario was going to be. We have to factor that in. But also looking towards the point you mentioned there with the fact that there is no Wout van Aert, that will make it interesting. Wout van Aert is racing in Italy whilst this is all going on with Strade Bianche and Tirreno Adriatico on his schedule. So here we have a little bit of a different focus, more of the sort of Grand Tour anchors or the stage racing anchors in Rowan Dennis, who rode in Gran Camino with him, Tobias Foss, who is looking on decent form, the Norwegian. And I think Laporte could be interesting. He was strong at Omloop in the opening weekend of the Classics. And we saw last year's Tour de France that his climbing legs are pretty good. He can sort of be useful on a climbing train, which will be very, very handy when going into sort of the stage 6 and stage 8 kind of days, the more classic looking profiles that I think Pogacar will try to capitalize on. So Laporte maybe will see a opening, the door will open, if you will, for him to take this this position among the team. I don't think we're going to see quite a sort of Jumbo-Visma explosion like we have seen at the Tour de France last year and the Paris-Nice and Dauphiné last year. I think it's going to be a more pragmatic ride from Jumbo-Visma as they sort of get to grips with their opposition. And without Roglic and without Wout van Aert, I think that leaves room for experimentation. So something's bubbling here.
Tadej Pogačar, such phenomenal form. We've spoken about on the Echelon Cycling podcast as well, how he's just bulldozed everyone. The 5 victories in a row, 5 race days. But the team, Tim Wellens, who's been very strong this year as well, Matteo Tontin and his loyal lieutenant, Rafa Majka, is currently on this provisional start line. Of course, they're going to be bolstered with more riders. But Ewan, do you think it's going to be very interesting to seeing that double act of Tadej Pogačar and Rafa Majka up against Jonas Vingegaard, not really having that level of mountain support as we saw in the Tour?
Yeah, I'm very, very excited to see what UAE can do when they ride out in formation here. Of course, Rafał Majka, huge anchor to that squad. He proved at last year's Tour de France and at the Tour of Slovenia that he is an A-list domestique worthy of the highest level. I think he as well, he's had the whole spiel of being a Grand Tour contender, of being a stage race contender. He knows how it's going to go. He knows how to read a race very, very well. Not quite so much in the classic style profiles, like the one we're going to see on stage 6 and stage 8. Once again, but I think that's where Pogacar is going to wing it, or he's going to use the very, very useful teammate of Tim Wellens, who's in great form. He always is at this time of year, but he's on particularly good form at the moment. Brilliant rider Omloop Het Nieuwsblad, was strong in the Route del Sol, and he's performed well at Paris-Nice in the past. He's won on the Promenade des Anglais in the past, so he knows how that final stage could work. And I think he's going to slot in very, very well to be a useful helper for Tadej Pogačar when we go uphill. But I am slightly worried about something, Scott. The team time trial. When you think of team time trials, it doesn't really scream UAE Team Emirates, does it? Even in the past, in their other iterations as Lampre and so forth, they're not quite a team time trialing squad. There's 32 kilometers of team time trialing here. I'm intrigued. They haven't, even in terms of the UAE Tour last week, at last year's Vuelta a Espana as well, they weren't quite at the tip-top team time trial level. Try saying that a couple of times. And that does leave me worried that they're going to hemorrhage time to a very, very well-drilled Jumbo-Visma squad in the team time trial, which will then make it sort of a more uphill battle for Pogačar to gain back time later into the race. We're seeing it with Adam Yates in the UAE Tour as well. He lost time at the beginning. Although he looked like the stronger climber, it wasn't enough. He lost too much time in the beginning, and that put him on the back foot against what is a very, very strong opposition. And I'm worried that's going to be replicated here in Paris-Nice with Pogačar, that he's going to lose maybe 30 seconds or so in the TT to Jumbo, and that'll put him on the back foot. And Jumbo will then just try to control things like the final week of last year's Tour de France, where Pogačar just didn't have the opportunity or the opening to gain back time.
Obviously, it's not just the Vingegaard and Pogačar show. There are other teams. And I think potentially one of the teams that we should be looking towards is the rider that was closest to Primoz Roglic on the Col de Turini last year. And that was Dani Martinez. Ewan, we've seen Dani Martinez really develop as a rider in the last year. And Ineos Grenadiers desperately want to try and, well, get past this number 3 team that they are currently, and even some people would say number 4 if you take Soudal Quickstep into consideration. But where do you think Ineos Grenadiers, such a formidably strong record at this race, they've won with so many different riders, do you think this year they're going to replicate that once again?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Ineos really sort of fighting for that third place, but by doing so they could make the race quite miserable, bully them, sort of rip up the race and see where it takes him. Dani Martinez is a very, very good 1 week long stage racer. I'd say one of the best in the pro peloton. Look at his palmares. He performs very, very well on these 1 week long profiles, particularly when it gets chaotic. Even looking towards Algarve this year already, quite a chaotic race, a lot of sort of stars. And who came out of it as the champion, sort of under the radar, even though you shouldn't really be under the radar? Dani Martinez, the Dauphiné 2020. Brilliant example of Dani Martinez prowess. He reads a race very well. If Dani Martinez is in the mix, he's a character they need to be looking out for. Ineos Grenadiers have a fabulous record at Paris-Nice as well. They've won, I mean, just look at the record of Team Sky Ineos in the 2010s of this race. Exactly. Egan Bernal, Sergio Henao. Who else is, there's plenty other, Richie Porte won it a number of times. Wiggins won it. Oh, we missed. I apologize if we've missed someone out, but there's so many characters to choose from. Geraint Thomas, even. How can we forget Geraint Thomas, Tour de France champion? There are so many characters to choose from. I think they have a strong contender here in Martinez. Looking towards the team as well, I mean, it's stacked as well. Pavel Sivakov is going to be here, great helper for the squad, as is Ethan Hayter as well. It's a strong team that probably won't be hemorrhaging time in the Triple T. And we also have another element here. I'm hearing that Egan Bernal will be on the start line. Who knows if he's going to be a leader or not, whether it's too soon. He's won this race. He's won the Tour de France. Throw him into the mix. A fully fit Egan Bernal, the race has turned on its head.
So anyways, that is the three big contenders that we think that are going to be challenging for this title. But obviously, there are other teams to look at towards as well. Uno X are a very exciting wildcard. We know that they're going to the Tour de France and will definitely be competitive with Johannessen potentially and Christoph in the sprints. But Day, we're also interested to see what he can do. Very good rider, as we know, in these kind of races, and the French hope still. And then we also have the two-time former champion, Maximilian Schachmann, who could potentially want to repeat a history in that sense, but we don't hold your breath on that record. And of course, make sure to check out our website as well. That's where we got a more in-depth write-up of all things in terms of the Paris-Nice preview. But Ewan, but without further ado, Ewan, let's come to our favorite part of the show, the predictions round. And Paris-Nice, it looks like number one and two is fairly set. It just depends which order you're going to go for.
Even I am not sure which order to put this in. I back Pogacar to win the Tour de France 100%. But I'm not 100% convinced it's a win. Can it be a tie? Rock, paper, scissors on the podium? Okay, let's do it this way. Danny Martinez finishes in third place. And then second place goes to Vingegaard. Pogacar does something special on the final stage. Gets some bonus seconds somewhere, and that's it. He sprints to some bonus seconds at the top of Col d'Huez, and he just pips Vingegaard in the GC by maybe a second or two. But I think we're in for something special here. It's gonna be a really, really good week of racing. Rip up all your plans.
We all know who I'm picking first. Jonas Vingegaard, number one. Number two, Pogacar, and number three, Mathias Skelmose.
I actually had his name written down as a really, really good wild card. He's in great form. And I think, he's going to do well. He's the current sort of king of France. He does so well in France.
Yeah, and maybe he can do it here in his first Paris-Nice. Incidentally, also, I think Tadej Pogacar's first Paris-Nice.
Yes, Vingegaard, maybe? Yeah. Maybe he wrote the 2021, but I would say this is his first Paris-Nice to my memory. So it's interesting, so many debutants. Maybe this is where Maxi Schachmann or Egan Bernal comes into that sort of their element. Michał Kwiatkowski, maybe.
But yeah.
No, he's not racing this race. He's not racing this. Cut that out. He's in Strada Bianca. I wrote his name down.
But anyways, that's it for this video. Make sure to comment down below who you think is going to win. We're going to be doing streams on the Cycling Day and Extra channel every single day. And hopefully, if I can get it to work, Twitch. And we'll also do our recaps of the race as well, of every single stage. So make sure to check out that. Subscribe to the channel. Check out the main channel. Check out the Echelon Cycling Podcast. And also the link down below for the article of Paris-Nice preview. But with that, thank you very much for watching. And of course, as always, have a nice day.